So the bottom line with the Yankees last night, I mean, listen, I mean, you watch the game, missed throws. I mean, Rodon, who did battle, but just, you know, couldn't pop the strike when he really needed to. Yanks didn't hit. Toronto was anything but afraid of them. Toronto was absolutely the real deal. If you don't think so, I don't know what to tell you. I think that I don't know if they're better than the Yankees, but they're certainly not afraid of the Yankees, which might elevate them past the Yankees, if you know what I mean. And they play a better brand of baseball that kind of is less vulnerable to extended droughts. They bunt a little bit. They put more contact. They catch it. Anyway, last night was like the first time where I like, not the first time where I was like, oh, that's not really what happened. But last night was the first time I was really bothered by the explanation post-game here. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. You know, come on. We all know what we see. We all know what we watch. And when you got 12 errors, most in baseball, and you throw it across your body, and you are mechanically broken at this point, confidence obviously drained, you're just in a bad place. Probably the last thing you want to do is go out there and bury a player. And I'm not saying that Boone should do that. He's never going to do that. We know that. But you got to meet me a little bit more in the middle of the road than that. What in the world kind of an explanation was that? It's been three or four plays. You know, he's elite. You can't say that. Because right now, he is so far from elite. I mean, and I'm one of the young man's biggest supporters. You guys know that. But I got to call for what it is. Right now, Anthony Volpe is closer to being a minor leaguer than he is being elite. The numbers bear it out. I hope he bounces back. I don't know that he will. I don't know if it's going to happen midseason. Like we were just talking about this before. Me and Hoff would both, you know, bullface lie, bullface truth. You're not going to mess around and change a swing in the middle of the season. Yeah, you could always, although Manaea did do it from a pitching perspective, so who the heck knows? I guess anything's possible. Videotape, repetition, you know, all the access the players have now, the technology. Maybe I shouldn't say it's impossible, but it's not very plausible that as we get ready for August, that suddenly Volpe's going to overhaul, which is what I think he needs to do, his entire approach and his mechanics and everything that he does in the batter's box, and be ready to hit elite pitching in October. I just don't know how that happens. You know, and when he bangs a couple of home runs like he did the other night against the Atlanta Braves, yep, you're happy for the team. Yep, I'm happy for the young man. But, and Acola brought this up before, never once, maybe the Grand Slam of the World Series, and I was there for that, and maybe just being wrapped up in the energy was so awesome. And even in the Royals Series before, really the entire series, entire playoffs, Royals, Guardians, like he swung the bat well. He had a lot of balls to right field that were caught, had a lot of loud outs, a lot of high exit velo, whatever, you know, geek you up a little bit, but hit the ball on the screws, plain English. How's that? All right, he barreled up a lot of baseballs. And I really thought, you know, then he hits a grand slam in the World Series. You're like, all right, the moment's not too big for him. I just really thought that it was going to be all, finally, here we go. And it has not been that way. And we all know it. And I think you need just more of an honest depiction from the manager last night. Didn't feel it. Didn't like it. Certainly didn't believe it. Didn't buy it. Come on. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fans. Get back to you. Eddie, Long Island. Eddie, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, BT? I want to, you know, I know we're beating it to death, but the Yankees, I'll tell you what, the fundamentals on this team is horrible. I mean, I know you're killing Volpe, but, I mean, the last 30 games he's batting 120, and he leads the league in errors.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm not even killing him. I'm just telling you what's going on. It is what it is.
Oh, I know. Being honest. I know. And nobody even talks about Dominguez out there. He's batting. His last 18 at bats, he hasn't gotten a hit. And the guy who hit that double off the wall, he should have caught that ball.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Every time there's a fly ball to him, it's an adventure out there with the one hand. Use two hands to catch the ball.
Well, I mean, but now you sound like you sound like my dad now. Use two hands. You want to shoot free throws underhanded like Rick Barry? Some of these guys should. I actually did that in fourth grade. I told you that story. I couldn't reach the rim. And back then, like gym time, quick aside, gym time was tough. And my dad was coaching my CYO team. I think it was fourth grade. And so we're at the park, metal rims, no nets, freezing out, windy. And I'm trying to shoot these foul shots from my hip. You know how it is when you're just young and weak. And my dad's like, all right, enough is enough. Like, after practice ended, kids went home. He's like, let's start shooting underhanded. That's where I got the Rick Barry reference from, because I actually did it. And it actually worked. No, but, I mean, catch it with two hands, that's the least of his problems, or their problems right now. I understand what you mean. Of course, if you catch it with two hands, there's a slight increase in percentage that you won't drop it. I'm not saying that you're wrong. But, I mean, look at the way Grisham catches the ball. So, like, catches it down by his quadricep in the gap. It's amazing how these guys really don't drop that many baseballs. But that's not the issue. There's a lot of issues. Last night, there was, where the hell's Bellinger? You know, first game out of the All-Star break. Where's Dominguez at the leadoff spot? You know, now, it worked out because they won the series. First game out of the All-Star break. Why is there a bullpen game? Like, there are other things than catching with two hands. Let me get Dom at Edgewater, BT and Sal on the Fan. Dom, what's going on?
BT, good to hear from you again, as always. I know I've called you recently with the Yankee rant, so I'll try to be a little bit more docile, as you called me a few few times ago. But I'll tell you right now, the Yankees last night really disappointed me. And not to mention, first off, congrats to Kevin Gausman, because anytime the Yankees face him, they just can't beat him. I mean, it's just, he looked good last night. His splitter was really good.
He was going after Judge, too. Really, he went right at Judge.
Yeah, he got away with one. Yeah, yeah, he got away with one, too.
I know.
And he got away with a fastball up there.
I thought that was the splitter, that last one that didn't move, that Judge popped
up
to the catcher. Yep, got it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right.
Yep.
But, you know, you look at this team where they were the first 2 months, and they, you know, they got the most out of Goldschmidt. They got the most out of everybody, where they were bombing home runs on opening day. And you look at this team now, and I was texting my friends last night, there's really nobody in this lineup that seems like the opposing team is afraid, and they're not afraid to pitch to. Because if you look at this team,
well, Judge,
you know, right now.
What about Judge?
Besides Aaron Judge, yeah. I'm just saying. Besides Judge, obviously. But this Yankee team, you know, you set up your top pitchers, and it just feels like, I know Rodon had a tough start last night, but two things I want to mention about him. One, every time we need a big start, I mean, he did come up big for the Cubs, and that was by far his best start of the season. He was fantastic. It just seems like Rodon can't duplicate it, and we want to see Rodon become that solid number two. Because let's face it, you signed him for a huge contract, okay? And, you know, I want him to live up to it. You know, we brought him over here to help us win a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing about Volpe, too, I want to mention this. I mean, he's a Jersey product, so me coming from New Jersey, I'm rooting for him, too, just as you are. There's a shortstop that the Yankees drafted.
Yep.
Dax Kilby from Georgia.
You talking about the lefty hitter? The lefty hitter?
Yeah, the lefty hitter. And listen, I know he's a prospect, but we don't know what we're going to get out of him.
I have no idea. He's a high school kid.
But what I'm saying is Volpe probably, he could be feeling pressure from that because he sees that as like, oh, okay. So maybe, who knows? I mean, listen, I'm supporting Volpe. Maybe that's a wake-up call for him because at this point, he's got to do better than last night. Peraza looks like, oh, God, he looks like a lost soul at third.
Stinks.
And so, here's my solution to all this. Because if the Yankees, and I said this last night, I don't think you can make this series a season because you have 60 games left.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't win the next two games in this series, you could kiss the American League East goodbye. I personally think the Toronto Blue Jays have. And I know I'm probably talking out of my rear end, but listen, this team obviously wasn't like what it was last year. The first 2 months have worked. And personally, right now, they're in the fight for their lives. And if they lose the wild card spot, you can also kiss Aaron Boone's job goodbye. Brandon, thank you very much for the call.
Appreciate it, Dom. Yeah, I'd be very interested to see how they handle that. I mean, you could be right. Maybe that would facilitate a change. I don't know. Listen, at this point, and I've been saying this for a while, that I view Toronto as division winning viable probably for about a month or so. Like, I don't dismiss them. And if the Yankees get swept this series, even if they lose two out of three, I get it. There's still 2 months of baseball. They're going to make trades. I can't go nuts. But what you say is not nuts here. It's not nuts to think that Toronto could start to maybe run away with this here. Maybe. A few other things to unpack from the call. The Rodon stuff, you know, and I get it. Now, one thing I've heard a lot today from those weighing in on road, because most of it's been about Volpe and Peraza and Boone's post game, you know, and Bellinger not playing. And then obviously you get around to Rodon, and most people have been like, yeah, he battled. Well, that's his job to battle. He battled. What big damn deal? He battled. You're playing Toronto. They're in front of you in the standings. So you fought hard. You tried hard. And I'm not trying to minimize that because he did battle. I mean, a 15-pitch at bat. You want to talk about laborious. He even tipped his cap. I've never seen that. Like, never seen that from him. Usually it's in a little bit of a, he gets a little twisted sideways with his emotions. But he comported himself well there. And I respect that. But the thing about Rodon, he's got nasty stuff. And it's backed up by one simple statistic. Question, at least going into the game. Now, actually, I don't think it went up much last night because most of the runs were unearned and most were walks. But the lowest opposing batting average, you know, which pitcher had that stat going into the game? It's Rodon. Opposing hitters hit, I think it was 189, they said on the broadcast. Either 180 or 189. That's what opposing hitters are batting against Rodon this year. So you know he's got filthy stuff. That's why that's been one of my favorite. You know, you look at the stats, and even like the last, I don't mean the last 5-10 years. I remember even like in the early 2000s, I don't think I looked at OPS then, really. I was still like very high on the average, whatever, home runs, steals, RBIs, run scored, hits, basic stuff. But I remember looking at opponents' batting average against a long time ago, because to me, that tells me all that I need to know. If you're hitting, you know, again, you've got to adjust it based on the modern inability to make contact. So it's all, let's keep, put it in the proper, you know, file here, perspective. But if you're hitting 261 against me, you're drilling me. Like, you're just destroying me. If you're hitting 179, 189, below two, what does that tell me? It tells me that opposing hitters, in large part, have a very uncomfortable at-bat against me, if that's my opposing batting average. Because I've got good stuff, and I've got good command of it. Otherwise, you're not allowing hitters to bat a buck 89 off you, the best hitters in the world, even though they're very different from the hitters many of us grew up with, which have been a source of problem for a long time. So Rodon battled, and I'm not trying to dismiss it, but damn it, for $168 million, you better battle, number one. Number two, I have it on loop here, and I keep seeing it out of the corner of my eyes. And I know that they're not going to do it. I'm going to tell you, though, the more I see these Spencer Jones highlights, the more I'm getting sucked in. Now, everybody knows about his easy power. Like, when you're that big and you hit the ball the opposite way, like he does, effortlessly, I mean, it's at the very least, it's appealing. Yeah, you know, and then you run and you have a rocket for an arm. Like I know they're not gonna bring him up. And there's no way I'm trading Lombard. I kind of hinted at this yesterday. I'm in on this. There's no way I'm trading him for a rental. Even with Judge in his prime in a smallish window, that's just too tantalizing. I know there's been some other guys that have flamed out. We know the list. Don't need to go through them all. But he's got 10 home runs in 16 games. So, he's a dynamic athlete. So I'm looking at keeping this guy around for next year, you know, because you have some other decisions to make. And like I said yesterday, Goldschmidt, you know, he's a good pro. Respect him. Better than Rizzo. I'm not bringing him back next year. So what do I do? If hopefully Bellinger's back, I put Bellinger at first base, you know. That's the year, if Grisham's gone and his contract's up, maybe the Yanks keep him around, whatever. I'd be fine with that for not big money. But, you know, maybe Dominguez tries center field. I don't know, the position that he was groomed to play. And maybe have an outfield of Dominguez in center, Jones in left, Judge in right, and Grisham floating. I don't know. The other thought, too, because one of the last caller brought up Volpe, you know, this has to tell you a lot. And the Yankees, like, it wasn't just the first pick, that's a high school kid from Georgia. Their second pick in the third round was a shortstop from A&M. Then their next pick was a pitcher. Then they went shortstop again. So you're talking about three of the first four picks, top five rounds, premium money. two of whom were college kids who don't have the leverage to go to college, which means they're coming to the Yankees. If that's not a message for Anthony Volpe, I don't know what is. I really don't know what is. And, I mean, just think about this common sense here, guys. You know, like, take any great young player. You know, I don't know, in the mid-'80s, were the Yankees drafting three first basemen the first couple of rounds? No? With Mattingly? No. Were the Yankees drafting shortstops in successive rounds or successive picks when Jeter was in his prime? No. So that alone tells you a lot. Now, the one thing that I will say, just to balance that out, the whole scouting's changed, and I've talked about this. I can't get into it now, but more and more teams, they just draft shortstop, and then through attrition, when they come to the minors, well, one eventually winds up in the outfield, and one eventually gets booted over to third base, and maybe one moves to second base, because it's just a much more athletically oriented game. If you can't run, you're just not getting drafted high. That's it. Unless you're a catcher, you know, who hits and who has a rocket. So that's definitely a message to Volpe. How is he processing that? I don't know. I can't quantify that. Can't feel good, though. I think a little fool's gold, as you talk about what Stern said after the before the game, is his take on the team and the trade deadline. We'll get back to that stuff here. I have a Nick note as well. First up, though, time for the meat of the order. For the Yankees last night, not a whole lot. The Yankees only had one run, scratched out five hits. I mean, 12 strikeouts is what drives you nuts. Rough one for Goldschmidt. So he's still in the meat of the order. So you look at Judge at the 2 spot, 0 for 3. I do not like Jazz Chisholm batting. I just didn't like this lineup at all. Jazz Chisholm batting third. Now, he did have a hit. Stanton went yard. He's been swinging the bat really well since he came back. So he did a little, he did the only damage, actually. Dominguez, Collar, 0 for 4 with a whiff. And Goldschmidt, 1 for 4. So that's the meat of the order. When you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head. Committed to craft since 1905. Now, I was thinking about this. And I'll give you my answers. I wanted to try to find a few Mets. All right, let me do this on the fly here. So are those the two that I want? I've got those two. Yeah, I guess I'll do that. All right, so let me just pop on the Mets box score from last night. As I was looking at the research, you know, for the meat of the order that we just did there, I'm like, all right, so right now Aaron Judge dipped below 350. All right. Nothing to really get alarmed at, but, I mean, because, I mean, still hitting 349. But if I asked you, does Aaron Judge, who just dropped below that interesting benchmark, does he finish above 350? What's your answer? My answer is yes. My answer is fairly confident, yes. If I ask you, and I'm just kind of taking, cherry-picking guys who are, you know, just dropped below a certain, I don't know, neighborhood that I find interesting, Goldschmidt. Drop below 290. He's at 289. Do you think he finishes the year at 290? No. That's almost as easy as Judge. Maybe easier. All right, so let me find a couple of interesting Met ones here. All right, here we go. Finally popped up. All right. Maybe I'll save Soto for last. Pete. Yeah, Pete's dropping like a rock with the... I mean, listen, no surprise with the average because we've talked about that so much over the years. But he's down to 273. So for Pete, do I think that he finishes above 270? No, I don't. Who else is interesting here? Lindor, I just don't know if he's healthy, so he's really tough to read now. I say Lindor's huff perks up back there. He just raised his fist like a lunatic. Let's see. He's at 248. Do I think Lindor finishes the year higher than 260? I think that that's a fair neighborhood. I'm going to say yeah. Little hesitantly, because I just don't know if he's healthy. I'll say yeah. And not by a ton, but yes. And then we'll end up with Soto. Soto, 250. I know the power's there, but he's at 256. Does Soto hit higher than 270 this year? And my answer is no. I think he's mid 260s with obviously great power numbers. Anyway, what the heck do I know? I'm just throwing darts there, but some statistical stuff. All right, 888-808-1019. The Nick note, and we'll get these calls here. So Hoff comes in. He's like, I don't know if you'd be interested in this. He's like, but there's a Nick note pertaining to the coaching staff. I'm like, of course I'm interested. And then I heard the name. I'm like, what? If you gave me, I'm not exaggerating. If you gave me 100 names, maybe 200, and I know that this gentleman's a coach. I know that. And you asked me, all right, guess who the Knicks just asked for and received permission to talk to as a coach? Pablo Prigioni. That's the name. That's the answer to the question. T-Wolves, you know? He's actually highly thought of. Pablo Prigioni. I mean, when the hell was the last time you thought about him? Pablo Prigioni. So the fact that Minnesota granted the request, obviously the Knicks will now hire him. And to be clear, Hoff, just so you know, I buttoned up with this, it's not for the lead assistant necessarily. It's for a place on Mike Brown's staff, correct? I think that's what, yeah, you go. So, all right, little Nick note for you. Back to the calls, 888-808-1019. Let me get, how about Joey Clams in Brooklyn? Randazzo's. Joey, what's up?
ABT.
Joey.
How you doing?
Good,
hopefully
Joe.
I see you by the Metropolitan Cigar Lounge in Edgewater this year after a Jet game or come there. It's beautiful over there. Nice to smoke a cigar like a gentleman, have a bourbon.
I like it. Listen, I like Edgewater. I'm a big fan. I've been to some nice restaurants down there. I lived too far from there years ago, so I got you.
Oh, yeah. Metropolitan Cigar Lounge, beautiful. Listen, the Yankees never fixed of what they were bad last year. The 5-6 hole and up the middle. And it's the same thing. You had a chance to get a third baseman in the offseason. Could have gave the same thing the Red Sox gave. A 3-year contract would they give to Bregman. And you could have solved your problem. And number one. Number two is you got a manager. He's a red sweater away from being Mr. Rogers.
Oh,
that coaching staff is soft. Where's the Yankee blood in that coaching staff, BT?
Yeah.
Where's the old Yankees there that will grab a kid like Volpe and tell him what to do? Willie Randolph on that bench would have told him, helped him out, would have helped the Gleyber Torres. They don't help nobody. There's guys on that staff were backup third stringers as seniors when they were on the JV. Come on, man. And Concepcion was on the Big Red Machine shortstop. Very underrated. Look at his numbers.
No,
another
I don't.
Thing, BT.
I don't.
Winfield was better. What infield was better, the 2009 Yankee infield or the Big Red Machine infield?
Oh, the Big Red Machine from the 70s. So you got Morgan, you got Concepcion. Was that Ray Knight at third? Perez. I know Pete bounced around, Pete Rose. Versus the 2009 Yankee infield. Tex, Cano, Jeets. I mean, it's the Yankees. I remember, and I believe that this is true. I don't think this is just something like I think I heard or I heard and it wasn't correct. I think that Concepcion was like the inventor of, let me throw it on a short hop on the carpet because it's going to get there quicker to Perez than like from the hole, you know, where he would use the turf. And that turf back then, like in Philly, at the Pirates, with the Phillies, with the Pirates, with the Reds, the Astrodome, that turf was like a rock. So you can just kind of fire it off there. And some players will do that now and try to give the first baseman like a long hop. And if you do that, it's pretty effective. It's proven fit, like from a physics perspective, that it gets there quicker. But no, Concepcion didn't hit a whole lot. And the thing about Bregman, and I'm seeing a lot of red on Baseball Savant, which obviously means good stuff. But you remember when there was the flirtation with Boston, and a lot of the things that you heard was, well, he's a great profile for Fenway Park, and he is, right? And listen, I'm not saying I wouldn't have taken him because he's a great fielder. He's proven postseason, everything that you know about Bregman. But the one thing that he doesn't do at all is have any power the other way. He pulls it all. And I'm looking at his spray chart right now, and he's literally got, this is actually even more amazing than I thought. He's got 4 extra base hits. 4. It's basically August here. 4 from center field wall to the right field foul pole. He's got 1 home run to dead center. He's got 1 double to right center. He's got a home run that just cleared the fence in right center. And he's got a double that's right off the pesky pole, 302 down the line. That's it. So when you say, well, what does that mean? It means what we told you before he signed with the Red Sox, that he's probably a better fit for the Red Sox than he would be at Yankee Stadium. That's all it means. John's in Brooklyn. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. What's going on?
So where do I start? I feel that this it's just the organization's approach to offense is just, it's not working. The constant changing of the lineup, they have no leadoff hitter. I mean, how many times are we going to see a man on second and third and Volpe pop it up the short right? You know, my brother and I have a joke. How do you stop the Yankees from scoring? Put men on base. I mean, it's just constant.
By the way, it's the same with the Mets. Mets don't hit with guys on base at all.
I mean, yesterday, you know, Toronto scores four runs in the bottom of the fifth. This is not even a lie. Four runs in the bottom of the fifth. I turn around, the top of the sixth starts. I turn around and tell my daughter, my five-year-old, something. Sweetie, put that down. You're going to break it.
Mm-hmm.
I turn around at the television. The second out was being recorded. I said, what just happened?
Yeah.
It's just a boring approach. There's no urge. The Toronto put the ball in play. They don't strike out. Okay, a couple of errors. You're not going to make an error if the ball's not put in play. I mean, if I hear Michael Kay say, swing and a miss one more time, I'm going to be like, I mean, this is just... And who are you going to put in shortstop? You have nobody.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're stuck with Volpe.
That's why you're not sending him down. No, that's not an option, John.
There's nothing you can do.
Yep, go ahead.
There's no leadoff batter.
Yep.
We have no consistency in the leadoff spot. You know what? Put Volpe at the leadoff spot. What the heck? Have Judge bat second. Maybe Volpe will get some pitches to hit.
I mean, they've tried that, though. And that, yeah, I mean, I know. Truth of the matter is, if, like, there was more evidence statistically that, you know, if Volpe just had more, you know, success and he was just in a crazy funk, I think it's almost more justifiable. Like, you know what? Hey, we've seen enough before. Put him in a one hole. Let him get some fastballs from Judge. Now, the problem is, it mitigates the run game. Although they had, who stole last night when Judge was up? Was that Peraza? I think it was Peraza. He had a two-hopper up the middle, and they dove. They kept it in the infield. And I do think he... And I remember Kay even saying, like, well, there's no way you'd send... Yeah, it was Peraza. There's no way you'd send them here, because then they'll just intentionally walk Judge. I mean, nobody walks Judge like the Toronto Blue Jays. And then the Yankees are like, yeah, we're going to steal a base. Now, amazingly, they didn't walk him there, which is bizarre. Unless they just loved the match with Gausman and it wound up working out, you know, seven or eight fastballs, he kept fouling them off. And then it was a splitter that didn't drop at all, that he should have crushed. And he knew it, that he should have hit over the fence and he popped it up. So I just sometimes don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're doing. I just don't. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And the caller said too, John brought up about, like, was that Clams? I forget. This is so many calls today. So many problems right now. Everything's blending into one. About, you know, where's the Yankee blood in the dugout? You know, I've never really looked at it that way. But if you actually think about it, it's an interesting statement. Like, the Yankees have always had some level of carryover from former Yankees. You know, whether it was Lou Piniella as the manager, whether it was, of course, Billy Martin. Buck was a minor league teammate of Don Mattingly. You know, Torrey didn't play for the Yankees, played for the Mets, but obviously a New York kid from Brooklyn, Marine Park. I mean, I don't know. Mattingly was the hitting coach. Willie was the third base coach. And I never really put a lot of stock in that. But if we keep saying, like, you know, we don't like their approach and they just tolerate so much, I don't know. You know who I'd like to see? But he just doesn't want to do the job, because when you make that much money as these players, even though they've been retired for a while, you invest just with an ounce of intelligence. You are. You got multiple generations set, even if you didn't make $400 million. I would love to see somebody like Posada on the bench. Is that not the guy? I'm not even saying he's the manager. As a coach, Jorge Posada? I'll take it. He's just very bland. 888-808-1019. Okay. Hoff, how's the responses to the Lindor stuff? A little mixed bag. Just be a thumbs up. Thumbs up meaning engagement, or thumbs up meaning people think that it was a good point out of you? Both? Both?
He says it's a great point.
It's a great point, yep. I was telling him too, because it's funny. Sometimes you're doing this and you just say something and kind of mess around. Like, I didn't really fully mean it, but I wanted to just throw names at him. Now, I may have meant Robin Yount, and obviously Jeter's ridiculous, but I threw Trammell at him. And when I started in radio, one of my early jobs, 2001, whatever, I'm working in Detroit doing middays. It was like my first real opportunity, first big look in radio. And I don't know, for some reason, I decided to turn this into an anti-travel Hall of Fame candidacy thing in Detroit. And I think because he was, like, really up, and it was hotly. I didn't just pull it out of nowhere. And now I'm like, there's no way this guy's a Hall of Famer. Stop. He had 3-4 good seasons. And now as Hoff is throwing his stuff about Lindor, I'm like, well, Trammell was better. Yeah, whatever fits the moment. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. As I talked about the Wilson and the Sauce Gardner extensions, and obviously the Jets starting up this week, the Giants starting up this week, and I am not forcing myself to do this, and there have been, obviously, many years where I do force myself to do this. Like, I don't really have to dig too deep to feel somewhat optimistic about this season for both teams. Like, there's been years in the past where, you know, you just tie your brains up in knots. Like, oh, if they could do this, then if this happens, oh, you schedule this. I'm not even talking about, like, playoffs or any, you know, grand delusional thoughts here. I'm just talking about, like, the Jets and the Giants starting the season. Fairly quiet off seasons. Stable. Okay. Unified. An infusion of some talent, certainly for the Giants, and I like what the Jets did in the draft as well. And I just think that there's a chance that we get to Halloween, and it's not misery. And at this point, it's all I'm asking for. Like, I'm not asking for much, you know? I do think that there's, and I'll get more into this as we get closer to the season, get a little deeper into camp here, but, you know, I'm feeling kind of bullish on both of these teams. And I don't even... No, I don't have it in front of me. I could guess, probably be in the neighborhood of what the win total is or from Vegas for each of these. I know it's low. I'm not even really, I just think it's going to be presented differently this year. Like, one of the things that drove us nuts about the Jets was the sloppiness and the penalties and nobody tackling and the pop gun offense. You know, predictable that you're going to have Aaron Rodgers throw it 40 times. And then the explanations post-game from Robert Saleh, who was absolutely clueless and lost. All right? Should not have been a head coach in this market. He didn't have the chops. I thought he did. I was fooled. Many of you thought he would have it. Didn't. Didn't have the presence because he didn't hold his players accountable. And at least this year, I think you'll see a diminishment in penalties because Aaron Glenn will obviously focus on that. But I just think you're going to hear a guy who, not bombastic and crazy, not Rex Ryan, but he's got that Parcells in him, and he said it, so he knows what he's looking for. And if he doesn't see it, and then he calls it out, and then he doesn't see it after that, you're gone. Like, there's going to be very few opportunities to prove yourself to Aaron, I think, that you're his kind of football player. And I think that in itself is going to be refreshing. You know, and then from the Giants' perspective, I don't know what Russell Wilson's going to do here, but... And their own line's getting a little bit better, pass rush. Again, not to run down too much now, but at least if Russell Wilson bombs, right, at least there's the hope of Jackson Dart. When do you see him? Do you see him? Don't know. But you didn't have that last year. You know, you had the Taylors and, you know, for a couple of years. You had DeVito. It's different. And so I think there's just a more positive energy, and I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. Let me get... How about Mickey in Walcott, Connecticut? Mick, what's going on?
Hey, brother. Hey. Thank you for taking my call, man.
My pleasure, Mickey.
So, listen, I love David Stern. I do. I think he had a great... He's a great one so far with us, a great run. But I swear, this guy's a politician. When I'm listening to him talk, you know, he's basically just saying, let's put lipstick on a pig.
Mm-hmm.
At least for this season. And it's killing me, you know? I think what kills me more is two big, I know you guys already spoke about one of them, but I haven't really heard nobody really speak about the other one, which is absolutely eating me alive, which is the fact that, sure, this pitcher that used to pitch for us just went to the Phillies, right?
Yeah.
But Trevor Bauer just got signed to a minor league deal as well to, Mick. 2-3 days ago.
No, Mick, I can't. I don't have the energy to get back. Trevor Bauer. We were on that train.
I'm sorry.
No. Listen, man. We fought that battle. Sal and I fought that bravely and gamely. We had him in studio for an hour to explain himself. To be fair, I jumped into a lot of the documents legally. Was never charged with a crime. Like I just can't start resetting it again. I can't. It's over. It's not happening. There was a time where I thought both the Yankees and the Mets. This was 2 years ago. I'm like, bring him in. and they never did. Not happening now. He's blackballed. He's banned. Do I think he could help a team? That's not even the point anymore. Of course I do. But nah, man, it's not going to happen with him. Jeff's at Oceanside. Jeff, what's up?
What's going on, BT? How you doing today?
I'm good, man. What's going on, dude?
I'm concerned about Lindor. Everyone's saying it's a swamp, it's a swamp, it's a swamp. I just looked it up. Over his last approximately 125 at-bats.
Yep.
125. He's hitting 170 with an on-base percentage of 225. Not 5 games, not 10 games,
mm-hmm.
125 at-bats.
That's been brutal.
If he's hurt and he's banged up, he had no business going to the All-Star game.
That, you know, it's funny. I'll give you a chance. I used to rail about, this is one of the reasons why, well, I know he's a great scorer, but this is one of the reasons I get on Carmelo. I thought he was so selfish. And remember we made that when at the Garden, he was an all-star. He yep. played, and then now the Knicks stunk. I guess at the end of the day, fairly inconsequential to the season. They were horrendous. I think they won 23 games, whatever it was. But like he put the season and the team over his own glory. And I called him out on that. And me and Sal, listen, as much as me and Sal disagree on a lot, we are in lockstep on the Carmelo stuff. That is not fair to Lindor. I don't feel that. No, this guy plays every day.
He I know plays he plays no every way. Day. And he hustled out that double play ball in the end of the game yesterday.
Yep.
So I'm thinking he's not hurt, but it's concerning that a player of his caliber. I'm not talking 10 at-bats, 15 at-bats. I mean, 125 at-bats, BT.
No, I know. Do you know when he got hurt? Do you remember the exact day?
It's about 6 weeks ago, which corresponds to...
Just about. June
4th. Then don't go to the All-Star game.
June 4th. He got hurt June 4th.
So 6 weeks, right?
I know. No, I'm saying that I'm asking to at least back up your point about the length of this malaise here. And it is about 6 weeks, and this hellhole of a batting journey he's been on, you don't think it correlates at all to the injury? I mean,
okay. And don't be selfish and don't go into the All-Star game.
Listen, you know what, Jeff? I'm probably going to sound like I'm contradicting myself a little bit with the Carmelo and Lindor stuff. If that bothers you, I'm not going to tell you not to let it bother you. I understand it. Obviously, I understand it. I just think that that's unfair to a guy who plays every day and has not shown a single inclination to put himself in front of the team at all. Really, he hasn't. So that's why I'm not feeling that. And I usually kind of, I don't want to say look for those things, but those things matter to me. I don't think that's applicable here. I just don't. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. We got you till 2. Evan and Tiki coming up after that. Back to the calls next on a Tuesday.